Dawns, and the morning star arises in your hearts until all of these things come into fulfillment, which will be at the rapture or when we're glorified in the presence of Jesus Christ. Then notice in verse 20, he says, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation." Now this word interpretation is better to be understood. No one's didn't originate, or origination would be a better word here. It's not of one's own origination. In other words, the Word of God did not originate from men. And then he further amplifies that in verse 21, where he says, "For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will." Man didn't have it in him to put this kind of a book together. That's what Peter's telling us. And when you look at the Word of God as it has been written, some 40 different authors, writing over a period of 1,600 different years, in three different languages, including 60 generations, and yet we have a continuity in all of these various subjects, which some of them are highly controversial, and yet the Bible never disagrees or contradicts itself. It's really a unique book. No other book took that long to write, 1,600 years. No other book can boast that many different authors who lived so many hundreds of years apart. No other book was written by such a variation of backgrounds on the part of those who authored these books. We go all the way from kings to poets to herdsmen to shepherds to fishermen, on and on, just about every occupation. Physicians, God used every kind of an occupation to put this marvelous book together. And it is unique, and that in itself is a testimony that it did not originate out of an act of human will. But rather, notice what verse 21 says, "Men were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God." Now again, this is a metaphor, and it was a maritime metaphor, very common to those who spent a lot of time in ships. They would sailing ships, and when they put their sails in the right direction, where the winds would just carry that boat along, and it would be borne along by the waters and by the wind. And what Peter is saying here is that we likewise, all of those who had a part in the putting together of this very unique book, were men who were carried along by the Holy Spirit, borne along as a ship is borne along by the water. These men spoke from God. It's interesting that as we go back into history, we see how the Word of God is sort of like the Jews, as Arnold has spoken about them in the past two or three weeks. We talked about how to destroy the Jews. You can really say the same thing about the Word of God. Men have tried to destroy the Word of God. They've tried to destroy it physically. It's been under attack. All the way clear back to Diocletian in 303 A.D., demanded that every copy of the Scriptures in the Roman Empire would be confiscated and burned, but he didn't succeed in it. And Voltaire, that great French infidel, if we can call him great, said that 100 years from the time of his death, which was 1778, 100 years from that time, the Word of God and Christianity would have literally passed into history, out of existence. And yet, like the Jewish people, the Word of God is still very much with us today, as we here tonight are a testimony to that fact. Not only has the Word of God been under physical attack, it's also been under mental attack. There are those who have tried to destroy its credibility. There are those who have attacked it and tried to mythologize everything and take all of the miracles out of the Word of God, and we have them in our day. And yet, nevertheless, the Word of God continues to change lives. Bernard Ramm is a great theologian of our day and Bible scholar. And he remarks, and these are his words, "A thousand times over, the death knell of the Bible has been sounded. The funeral procession has been formed. The inscription has been cut on the tombstone. And the committal has been read. But somehow the corpse never stays put." Yet the Bible speaks itself as a living and abiding force which will abide forever. And over again, the Word of God is pictured as that which lives and abides forever, and man cannot destroy it. And that's a testimony to the very fact that it has a divine author. It's not of men. Now, we can make several statements about the Word of God, and that's what I want to do just real quickly. And we're not going to elaborate on these because I only want to take a few more moments. But we must hold, number one, to the same view of Scripture that Jesus held to Scripture. We must hold to that view. And Jesus took a very literal view of the Old Testament Scriptures. Of course, in his day, the New Testament Scriptures were not finished yet at that time. But look back in Luke chapter 24 and see the view that Jesus had of the Old Testament Scriptures and how he wraps them all up as being... As speaking of himself in verse 25 of Luke 24, where he's speaking to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he begins to open up to them the Word of God. He says, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and then to enter into his glory?" And then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them things concerning himself in all the Scriptures. Go over to verse 44. He said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Jesus, in one sweeping statement here, put his stamp of approval upon the whole of the Old Testament, the writings of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, the poetical books. That covers the entire Old Testament. Jesus confirmed it as being of the Word of God, being the Word of God, and speaking and prophesying of His coming. The second thing that we must be sure of is that we hold to the same view of Scripture that the apostles held of Scripture. I don't think we can expect anything less of ourselves than to hold to the same view that the apostles held. Now, if you look back in at Paul's feeling regarding prophecy or Scripture here, it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us," 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." Now, this is a really interesting verse. There are those who say that nowhere in all of Scripture will you ever find that while these men were writing down these books and historical documents, that they were ever really aware that they were being influenced by the Holy Spirit and that this was the Word of God. And yet here, Paul comes awfully close to saying that he was aware of the fact that while he was writing, it was the Word of God. He says, "When you accept what you heard from us, you accepted it for what it really was. Not man's word, not my word, but the Word of God." And over again, he makes appeal to the fact that when he, even regarding the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, I'm delivering unto you that which I also received. It's not my word, it's the Word of God. So recognize it as such. That Paul almost had an uncanny awareness here that even while he was writing, he was really recording the very thoughts of God and that they would be preserved throughout the ages, although I'm not sure how much of that we can say the apostles were really aware of. But look at another passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, where Peter says something to this same effect. 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16. "Therefore, beloved," beginning in verse 14, "since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, spotless and blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters." Now notice, he's talking about Paul's writings. "Speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand." Peter evidently didn't have the mental capacity that the Apostle Paul did. He said, "Some of these things, I grant you, are very hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they do also the rest. Isn't that interesting? The rest of the Scriptures to their own destruction. Peter at this point seems to recognize that the Apostle Paul, that his writings were Scriptures and very much a part of the overall Scripture as we have it today. And of course, Peter, even his ministry was primarily finished as far as the Word of God is concerned prior to that of Paul. Paul's writings need to be looked upon as Scripture as well. And I think this is the final message, final note I'll make on this, and then I'm going to finish this message some other time because I can see the time's getting away from me. But these men looked upon themselves as eyewitnesses. And this is very important for us in our day because an eyewitness, the word of an eyewitness, holds far more weight than the word of someone who wasn't there. And we somehow forget that when it comes to the Word of God. These men who claimed to be eyewitnesses, and they were that. When we were out in Phoenix this summer, we were going down the road, and I pulled up to this stoplight, and I stopped. And all at once I saw in the right mirror of this little vehicle that we were in, I saw this car speeding by me, behind me. And I knew the light had changed to red, and he went right on into the intersection, and sure enough there was a car that was turning because he knew the light was red, so he had the right of way to go ahead and make his left-hand turn, and of course the cars met right there. And it just so happened that I saw the whole thing. So we couldn't go anywhere there for a few moments, and we waited till the traffic officer got there, and they immediately wanted my account. The rest of us in the vehicle, we were sort of talking, but it just happened that I had my eyes on the road at that time since I was driving, so I saw the whole thing happen. And the officer wanted my address and phone number and all of this, and finally after we got back to San Antonio, about a week or two later, I received a statement in the mail. They wanted me to fill out exactly what I saw. Now, why was it that they wanted my opinion and not yours? Well, you weren't there. You weren't there. Now, when we look at the Word of God, don't listen to what men today and so-called great theologians today who are trying to distort and twist the Scriptures around and make them absolutely meaningless, don't listen to what they have to say. It's like one great theologian of our day said, and I can hardly agree with him more. He said, "We cannot stand and look over the apostles' shoulders correcting their work. It is they who stand looking over our shoulders, correcting our work." And that's where we need to leave it. Paul is saying to Timothy, "Timothy, this book is the Word of God. And the time that you spend in it, the time that you invest in that Word, it's going to change your life not only for time, but it's going to change your life for eternity." So he says, give yourself wholly to meditating on these things. Give yourself totally to it. Every moment that you spend is worth it. And it really will change your life. It will complete you and mature you and bring you to that point that God wants to bring you in a Christian life. So rest assured that regardless of what men are writing about the Word of God today, it is a unique book. Now, I can't prove to you today without question that this is the Word of God. We can't prove that. But we certainly have some very strong indications that it's the Word of God. And if we can accept the fact that there is a God, in the beginning, God created the heavens, then we can also expect that this same God who created us wanted to give us a written revelation of what He expects of us. So if you can accept the fact that there's a God, it's not hard at all to accept that there's also a word that's infallible that comes from Him, that He inbreathed. And every moment that we spend in it is going to be well rewarded in eternity. So I say to you, as Paul said to Timothy, meditate wholly, give yourself totally to the Word of God. Stand firm in your faith. Rest assured, it's the sure foundation, the only foundation upon which you can build. Let's pray. Father, we really do want to thank You for this infallible record that we have written over so many hundreds of years by so many different authors, all borne along and carried by the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the finality of the word and the assurance that we have that this book originates from you and not from man. And we really thank you for the change that it's brought about and the testimonies that each of us have tonight in this regard because of this word being altogether powerful and authoritative. So we thank you for it and thank you for these moments when we can reflect upon the word of God itself. In Jesus' name, amen.